Hello, this is Elodie Reed, digital producer for Vermont Public Radio. This podcast has been edited for brevity and clarity. Yay!
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. The state of Vermont is very close to its goal of having 80% of all eligible Vermonters having had at least one dose of the COVID vaccine. And when this happens, Governor Scott will lift virtually all the COVID restrictions that have been in place in some cases for as long as 14 months. To reach their goal, the Scott administration is holding dozens of walk-in clinics throughout the state in the next few weeks to provide even greater access to these vaccines. How will reaching this goal change our lives? Will there be different rules for vaccinated and unvaccinated people? And what will this new normal look like as we approach the summer months? Joining us again today to answer your COVID questions is Deputy Health Commissioner Tracy Dolan. Tracy, welcome back to Vermont Edition.
Thanks so much. I'm happy to be here.
And listeners, we're having problems with the phone lines. It's a regional problem and not just at VPR. So we're not able to take your phone calls at this time, but we can take your emails. Tracy, let's start with this 80% goal. I'm wondering if you could update us. Are we any closer to reaching it than we were 24 hours ago? Do you know?
We are inching closer. We are at 78.4% vaccination coverage. As of today, we have about 8,700 more vaccines to go to reach that goal, and we are vaccinating hundreds of people a day. I believe we were up to vaccinating about 2,000 a day last week. We're down to a little under 1,000 a day.
So we're talking
That's where we are.
We're talking about a couple of days here. If we're going at about 1,000 people a day.
Yeah. Again, you know, really hard to predict those numbers, but we're doing everything we can to try to get people vaccinated. We're going to the beaches. We're going to workplaces. This week reaching out to some faith communities. And again, you know, the pharmacies are a great partner, healthcare. So there are a lot of ways people can get vaccinated. And then, of course, you know, the younger kids are still continuing to get vaccinated, that newer age group of 12 to 15. So a lot of different pathways and hopefully sometime next week.
You know, let me ask you a question that I get from so many people, from listeners, from people on the street, and that is, what's going to be the biggest change that most folks will experience when we hit that 80% number?
You know, I can't speak for others in terms of what they're going to feel. I do think there is a sense of relief that people will feel a greater sense of protection. So I do think there's some anxiety that goes down. But for our businesses, probably the biggest impact will be on businesses where they can now open up to capacity in terms of letting folks in to restaurants and other venues, and also the hours. There will no longer be a limit on their hours. It will be their regular business hours. So for me, the hospitality industry will really benefit from this. And then, of course, we already know that if you're vaccinated, you can be without a mask outside. But I think just that additional sense of, you know, you don't have to be wearing a mask all the time. Of course, for those who are unvaccinated, we'll still recommend mask wearing inside. But I think some of those changes, just that sense, we're already easing into it now, especially those of us who are vaccinated, but even more so once we hit 80%, and then you really see the hospitality industry and other industries pick up.
Now, for these bars and restaurants that are now able to stay open longer, can they require their patrons to wear masks, or what's their discretion? What's their authority in this area?
I'm not their lawyer, so I can't speak for them. Although I can say, to the best of my knowledge, that private businesses can, require certain behaviors within their store. I mean, they can say no socks, no shoes, no service. Can they require masks? I believe that's within their purview. But again, you'd probably need someone on from the business community to speak to that. I'm not sure many will require that once we hit 80%. I think it's unlikely. But still, of course, we will have some people masked either because they're unvaccinated or because they're still getting used to the idea of not wearing a mask.
Tracy, we got this email from Claire in Hinesburg who wants to know, what advice would you have for musical groups of 30 to 50 members who are eager to rehearse? These rehearsals will take place inside a school band room with no windows, relying on the ventilation system. Only vaccinated members are allowed. An honor system will be used. Assuming only vaccinated members attend, is this a good idea?
Certainly, the vaccination is the biggest protection in that scenario. So if you have people who are fully vaccinated, they can gather together. And I think we've been clear about that, that if you're fully vaccinated, you can gather together. And so you can gather together to sing. And that would be a safe activity if you're fully vaccinated. If you have a mix of fully vaccinated and unvaccinated, we would recommend probably holding those rehearsals outside.
We also had an email from Meredith, who is concerned that there's really no clear outline about what it means to lift restrictions. For instance, Meredith says, could 900 vaccinated people get together for a big wedding or some other event, and what it would mean, how many unvaccinated people could be there. Is the health department, or does it already have at your website, some information that makes it pretty clear where we're going when we hit 80%?
Yes, if you go to Vermont Forward or you go to healthvermont.gov, you will be able to find some guidance there. But once we hit 80%, we are lifting all restrictions. It will just be universal guidance. And so there will be no restrictions on gatherings. A gathering as big as you're allowed to do in that venue or that space. And by what I mean by what you're allowed to do is what you'd be allowed to do as per the venue's guidelines. But there will be no public health guidance around the size of a crowd. We will still encourage mask wearing for people who are unvaccinated in an indoor environment, particularly a crowded indoor environment. But generally, there are no public health restrictions once we hit 80%. We have not hit that yet, and so there are still some restrictions, as we just mentioned. But once we hit 80%, it really will be back to normal in terms of that. Now, some people might not feel comfortable going to a 900-person gathering inside, there will be no government restrictions on that if the venue allows for it.
Well, let's take something like a comedy club, something that you're familiar with. The idea of having several hundred people inside a small space like that, if people are vaccinated, it's fine. But if they're not vaccinated, does that raise some questions?
If there are unvaccinated people, our guidance would likely be that we'd strongly recommend that those people mask for their own protection, really. We know that some people can't get vaccinated right now. In part, maybe because of health conditions. Maybe they are compromised in such a way that they were not able. They may be medically fragile, and they may not be able to get the vaccine. And we would recommend a mask. Now, this is unusual, of course. Normally, we wouldn't say an unvaccinated person for any other illness behave in a different way than a vaccinated person. But this is a serious virus. We still know that we have it in our community, although not at a high level. But the other key thing is we are part of a larger country, and there is a lot of travel going on during the summer. And we know there are people coming from states whose vaccination rates are as low as 50%. And so that really does provide an opportunity for the virus to get hold, take hold in the state again, which is why we do want to take precautions now. A, get as many people vaccinated as possible. But B, if you're unvaccinated, continue to take some precautions to protect yourself and others, especially as we move through this year and see where we are at the end of the year.
So just to be clear about this for folks who are listening and for me as well, if you are vaccinated and you're 2 weeks past your second vaccination date, you really don't need to wear a mask indoors or outdoors. But if you're unvaccinated, it is recommended that you wear a mask indoors, but you probably don't need one outdoors. Do I have that straight?
That's a good summary. Yes, you do have that straight.
I'm sure there's some people who are listening who are saying, you said we're at 78.4%, 1.6% away from 80%. And some folks are thinking, what's the big deal about 1.6%? Why are we waiting to get to that number in order to lift these restrictions?
We are being cautious. We saw what this virus did to our community. We saw what it did to our long-term care facilities. It ravaged some of our older community. And we saw what it did to our economy. And we want to be cautious. And we really want to hit that stretch goal so that we can give ourselves, it's almost, think of it as almost buying insurance for later in the year when we do know it will likely have some kind of resurgence. But the more money we put in that bank now, the more we invest right now, now I'm mixing metaphors with insurance and banking, but the more we invest now, the more we will be able to withstand any kind of bump up in the fall. And so that is really why we're trying to hold out here and really encourage people to get vaccinated, because you know, you're helping yourself, but you're helping the whole state, and really planning for that future.
Today on the program, our guest is Deputy Health Commissioner Tracy Dolan. Unfortunately, our phone lines are not working today, so we can't take your phone calls, but we can take your emails, and we would be very happy to do that. Perhaps you have some questions about what all this means or some particular circumstances that you're involved in. Feel free to drop us an email at vermontedition@vpr.org. That's vermontedition@vpr.org. Tracy, we got this email from Jeannie, who wrote, "I'm vaccinated, but I have a child who cannot be vaccinated. I'm concerned that Vermont kids in this scenario will be subject to strains of COVID that are more easily spread. I'm not hearing enough about this. I'm still masking because of it." Your thoughts about this?
No, I understand that concern. I think having a child who can't be vaccinated, either due to age or possibly due to health conditions, does concern people. And I guess I have a few ideas to share there. One is, of course, kids who are unvaccinated, you know, especially if they're in crowded indoor areas this summer, you may see some guidance coming out really recommending, not necessarily requiring, but recommending that when they are in crowded indoor environments, they wear a mask. But the other piece really to remember is we do have a very low case rate. I mean, you saw numbers coming out over the last few days, 9 cases, you know, 18 cases, 4 cases, very low case rate. And that is because we have much less virus circulating, this particular virus circulating in our state. And so there is a safety in that alone. And when we have less virus circulating, we also have less variants circulating, because variants really only arise during replication. And when the virus is not being transmitted, it's not replicating. And so while we do clearly have some variants here, we are not at high risk of a big increase in more variants. And so I understand the concern about kids, and certainly you may want to make different decisions about having your kids in a crowded indoor environment without a mask if your child is not vaccinated yet. And that's one way to go. Having vaccinated people mask, probably not as helpful. Your vaccine is incredibly effective, you know, up to 95% effective. And so it might be that you instead are choosing to have your child spend more time outside, or if they're inside, they're around vaccinated people, or possibly not in a very crowded environment, or wearing a mask if they are in a more crowded environment among unvaccinated kids.
Tracy, you mentioned that even after we hit the 80% number, that the health department is really encouraging unvaccinated people to be vaccinated. You'd like to see that number get as high as possible. One way to hopefully derail any return of this virus in the fall or the winter. What number can you, is there a number out there that you think, hey, if we hit 85% sometime during the summer, you're going to feel pretty good about the return or this virus not returning in the fall?
I feel really good about the 80% number. Anything beyond 80 continues to give us more protection. So it's unlikely we're going to reach 100%. But, you know, we didn't think we would go so high with the 65 and older population, and we are incredibly high there. So this is really exciting. I mean, I think we will go above 80%. How high, I can't say. Anything above 80% is gravy and very, very helpful in a protective light.
Why do you think Vermont has been so successful in getting particularly older people, people over 50, and you mentioned probably over 65? The vaccination rate is really, really high, and this is not necessarily true in other parts of the country. Why do you think it's true in Vermont?
That is the golden question. I think there's probably not one answer, but I think there are a few factors that have gone into it. One is just incredible partnerships in Vermont. Vermonters have been cooperative in terms of individuals in our population really coming together and doing the right thing. But they've also been really cooperative and wonderfully wonderfully helpful as partners. So, for example, long-term care facilities, early on, long-term care facilities, as you know, were hit so hard by this. And they developed great partnerships with the Department of Health, with the state, with their communities, and with the families of the residents they had there. So early on, you had a very highly motivated and engaged long-term care facility. And those partnerships build trust. I felt like there were really trusting relationships built between these nursing homes and the Department of Health. And that trust really helps when you're trying to send a message. To send a message in a time when you don't have a relationship, it doesn't land as well. But when you have a relationship and you can see that there's real care and concern, it lands better. So I think great relationships on all sides has helped, particularly among that older group. And then leadership, I think regardless of your political affiliation, the leadership on this has been pretty incredible here in Vermont. We've had a governor who has followed the science, who has really listened to and taken counsel from the Department of Health in a very collaborative way. He is on with our updates. We run a health operations center briefing several times a week, and he is on each time with those. You can see him taking notes. If you look on the video camera, he takes notes, he listens, he asks questions, and he has really then translated that into those press briefings where he is communicating regularly and answering every question. I mean, I don't know if you would see many press briefings from a governor where they just let it go as long as the questions last. It's pretty incredible. And then Dr. Levine also really out front, really as a teacher as well. You know, I think you can see his teaching experience mm-hmm. come through as he speaks to Vermonters in a way that is very translatable and easy to understand. So I think there's been strong leadership, a belief and an attention to the science, really great partnerships. And then Vermonters just generally caring about their communities. And even though it's been hard, doing the right thing. I mean, it's fascinating to see the masking here, let's say a few months ago versus in another state. I've had friends who had to travel, you know, for reasons of family, coming back and saying it's so different. And it's really paid off because you can see in some of those states, sadly, you know, their numbers are still relatively high. We have one of the lowest case rates in the country. We have the highest vaccination rate in the country. We are the only state in this country that has not had a death from COVID in 15 days. So you know what? Vermonters are saving each other's lives, and that's pretty incredible.
Tracy, there was a couple of weeks ago when the vaccination rate for younger people under probably 30 were quite low. There was all sorts of speculation about why this was true. Did young people think they were invincible? Were they resistant to the vaccine? But it sounds like through all the walk-in clinics and the efforts that the state has made, that access turned out to be one of the biggest factors. Is that right?
Yes, you know, I think there was a sense that vaccine hesitancy was going to play a really large role early on. And I think for some people it does. But what we're learning more and more is that it's really about access. And access doesn't mean, can I get there? Sometimes it means, can I get there easily? Is it a part of my day? Can I sign up easily? Or do I even need to sign up at all? There's a lot of aspects to access. Is it something I can do on the way home? And so we have seen that rather than convincing people, hey, the vaccine is safe and you know, here are all the details about what's involved in vaccination, in some ways, the simpler approach and the more effective approach has been, where would you like us to put it? You know, so showing up at North Beach, making sure that you can just walk into any clinic without making an appointment in advance. You know, a lot of younger people are used to a much more quick return on anything that they engage in. You know, they text, they Twitter, they don't necessarily spend time making long-term appointments in their world day to day. And so having these walk-in clinics, having them pop up in places that are convenient at the school or anywhere you might be has been a successful approach.
I think I've heard of some efforts to have these walk-in clinics or mobile clinics, even where some concerts are about to take place. I'm trying to imagine someone saying, well, I think I'll go to a concert tonight. No, yeah, I'll get vaccinated at the same time.
Well, you know, we did it with the racetrack. You know, folks came out to watch the car racing. And one of the places, I think we vaccinated 7 or 8 people that day. You never know what people might be, what the moment is, you know, that somebody might change their mind. We also vaccinated at some of the food sites. Vermont has a program where people can register if they qualify for food distribution. And, you know, we heard one story of a few families showing up and some individuals who hadn't planned to be vaccinated. They actually thought that they would not want to be vaccinated, but showed up to pick up their food box. And then right there was EMS with a mobile clinic, and they chatted with them for a few minutes. And it was just that personal touch, being there at the right time, and they changed their mind. And so they actually went ahead and got vaccinated. And so we're seeing that a lot, that sometimes it's really having that personal conversation with a healthcare provider who is just right there in your way, you know?
That's amazing. Do you think these walk-in clinics and this really public access effort will continue throughout most of the summer?
We think that it will continue in earnest at least for June. And then we will have to shift strategies. We'll certainly continue to have vaccine available throughout the summer. And we'll think about where that makes best sense. Will pharmacies continue to be the right place? Does it make sense that you can just walk in maybe to your primary care provider or make an appointment there? Unsure about what that next step will be, but I can tell you that we'll continue to have vaccine available throughout the summer and, of course, long term, and likely that it will be a walk-in style. Whether or not it's in exactly the same locations depends on what kind of uptake we get over the next month or so.
Today on the program, our guest, Deputy Health Commissioner Tracy Dolan, talking about the coronavirus and maybe the state making 80% that goal in the next couple of days or early next week and what that means for everybody. Unfortunately, we can't take your phone calls today, but we can take your emails. You can drop us an email at vermontedition@vpr.org. That's vermontedition@vpr.org. Here's an email from Athena. I'm a transplant patient, 9 months out, and have 3 autoimmune diseases. I am vaccinated, but based on studies being conducted by Johns Hopkins and Mayo Clinic, I'm not likely to have much, if any, antibody development. I would just ask that the message about vaccination continue and that it incorporate the message that thousands of Vermonters will remain unprotected due to their illnesses.
Thank you, Athena. No, that's a great message, and it's something Dr. Levine spoke to yesterday. We do really need to think about those, like I mentioned earlier, who either can't get vaccinated or, in Athena's case, perhaps the vaccine is not able to be as effective because of her condition. And so when you're walking around, you know, you don't know who might be in that boat. And so, again, the more people we get vaccinated, Mal, it's really that cocooning effect, really surrounding that more vulnerable person with vaccinated people. It works in many, many situations where we really look for that community immunity or that herd effect. And it really does then protect everyone in the community. And that's really what we're aiming for. So over this next week, anyone who's out there who's been putting it off or just not quite getting around to it yet, if you can go ahead, go on the Health Vermont website, healthvermont.gov, and click on I'd like a vaccine. You will find numerous opportunities or reach out to your local pharmacy. But on any day, at almost any hour of the day, you will likely find a place nearby that you can get vaccinated. And think about Athena and think about others who may not be able to get vaccinated or who may not have the immunity that you have. And think about what you're doing for yourself and for them.
Tracy, in the last week or two, we've heard a number of colleges in Vermont say that when their students come back in the fall, they're going to require that these students be vaccinated unless there's a medical reason why they can't be. The governor seemed to indicate at the press briefing yesterday that he's fine with that. Does this become a legal question or is it a health policy question?
I don't know if it's either a legal or a health policy question specifically. Colleges certainly have the ability to require vaccinations, and they already do for some other illnesses. And so they already require some vaccinations. So certainly if you go into a nursing program, there are already vaccinations required as well. And so this would be adding to that, and we're really leaving it to colleges to determine whether or not it makes sense for their student body. Luckily, colleges did some surveys this year, a little bit earlier this year, and really the vast majority of their students, you know, well over 90% plan to get this vaccine. So I'm really hopeful that even with this requirement, students are already very interested and motivated to get vaccinated anyway. And so I don't anticipate it'll be any real problem, but it's really great that colleges are thinking about how to protect their student body. And I know the students this year, I mean, it's been a hard year for everyone, but some of the challenges for college students, they're not at home in the comfort of their own home where they can move about. So being in dormitories and being really limited in their access to other students, to activities, has been really challenging. And so I can't imagine that students wouldn't want to do whatever they can to get to a place where they can have a regular, happy, studious, but also recreational and fun college year. And so all of that will happen if they're vaccinated.
You know, another question that we get, Tracy, from a lot of people, a lot of folks now are going back to work. Their businesses are opening in the next month or two, and a lot of people will be going back to their places of employment. Can a business say to its employees, hey, in order to return to work, you need to be vaccinated?
Again, you know, I probably can't delve into the legal piece of that, but as far as I know, again, an employer can require a variety of things. I don't know that they can go so far as to require the vaccination, and I don't know that any employers are going that far. So that's a question I can't answer. However, they can certainly strongly encourage vaccination. And again, in Vermont, some of these might be somewhat moot points because we do have such high vaccination coverage, but you'd probably need someone from the business community to be able to answer some of those more specific questions around whether a business can require it.
Earlier in the program, you talked about the importance of keeping people vaccinated all summer, getting that rate up as high as possible so that in the fall and in the winter, if there is a surge of this virus, that we're in better shape to deal with it. How concerned are you as you look around the country and the world? These different variants seem to be popping up left and right. And sometimes we learn that the vaccine can handle them. In some cases, the vaccine is somewhat resistant to them. How much focus is there going to be on variants in the next 3 to 6 months?
Well, here in Vermont, we are conducting whole genome sequencing, which will give us a sense of which variant is present in our community. And so we will be focused on that pretty significantly, really tracking to see which variant is here in Vermont. And we'll be conducting that analysis on samples throughout the summer and into the fall. And I anticipate that states all over the country will be doing it. And again, I am concerned, you know, we have a lot of travel. We live in a global world, global economy. You know, you've got countries like India that's just been devastated and still low vaccination rates, in part because of their poor health infrastructure and the challenges of their resources there. But even Canada has a lower vaccination rate than we do, and hopefully that's rising. And then parts of the U.S. have vaccination rates that are surprisingly low. So we are concerned about all of that. And here in Vermont, we're going to be tracking that very closely.
Today on the program, our guest, Deputy Health Commissioner Tracy Dolan, as the state approaches its 80% vaccination rate. Unfortunately, our phone's not working today, but email works. We should be very happy about that. And you can drop us an email at vermontedition@vpr.org. That's vermontedition@vpr.org. One quick question I had, Tracy, is that it seems like different states and even the federal government kind of have a different yardstick for measuring vaccination rates. Now, sometimes you hear people say, well, we need 80% of the eligible people to be vaccinated. And I think that means 12 and above. And then you'll see a national rate. Sometimes it'll pop up on the CDC where they'll talk about the vaccination rate in terms of the entire population. How come there isn't just sort of one standard measurement that we could all agree on?
Yeah, that is a great idea. And you should call the CDC. No, it is. It does get tricky. I mean, when we're talking about it, we're talking about of the eligible people who could be vaccinated. And CDC has to do different kinds of measurements because they're looking at a large population. So I understand why they do that. Normally, they do highlight and define those differences. But those differences can even trip off us. You know, you saw a couple of weeks ago, we had a slightly different rate than the CDC because of the way things are reported in and the lag times. And so it can trip us up as well. But now there are some standard definitions. Obviously, case rates are standard. So, you know, everyone uses the same calculations to determine the case rate, the positivity rate. But there are sometimes differences. Normally, they do label them as such so that we can see what those differences are.
And we have a situation where the Vermont Health Department has said 80% of the eligible people being vaccinated or having at least one vaccine. Canada has set another standard. I think they're looking at their goal is 75%. So we see some differences between states and even between countries.
Yes, and Canada took a different approach also, which was using their first doses because they had some scarcity. They used their first doses in a different way than we did. And so, for example, my family lives up in British Columbia, and a lot of them got their first dose back in April and are scheduled to get their second dose now. And they did that in order to vaccinate as many as they could. And mostly in the United States, we stuck with the CDC guidance, which was use first dose and then 3 or 4 weeks later use second dose. But in places where there was a little less vaccine, and I think in part Canada's challenge has been a lack of manufacturing centers within Canada that manufacture the vaccine as well. But that was one difference as well.
And that would explain why Canada has a growing rate of people who have been vaccinated at least once, but their rate of totally vaccinated people is quite low.
Yes, and they did take that different approach. I think there were parts of the UK that took that approach too. Again, an effective approach. I mean, after that first dose, you are 80% protected, which is very high, and something that they found necessary to do, luckily in Vermont and in the United States, in part because of possibly some vaccine manufacturing centers being located here. We had enough that we were able to do two doses in the way that the doses were originally designed.
Tracy, we heard from Melissa, who wrote, I have an infant grandson at home. I'm horrified at the prospect of no regulation. How do I protect him?
And I'm sorry, can you repeat the very first? I heard horrified at the prospect of
yes.
No regulation, but missed the first sentence.
I have an infant grandson at home, and I'm horrified at the prospect of no regulation. How do I protect him?
Oh, that's a great question. And so as we know, sometimes newborns are unvaccinated for a period, depending on the infectious disease that we're referring to. And the best way to protect kids who are so far unable to be vaccinated is really that cocooning effect. And that means ensuring that people all around them are vaccinated. And so if the adults or anyone 12 and over in that household is vaccinated, that's the best way to protect your child. Now, in the interim, while you're waiting for the numbers to even go lower in Vermont, although they're still pretty low, you may decide that you don't bring your small child into a crowded indoor venue where you know there might be some unvaccinated people. That could be another approach. But the number one approach is ensuring that everyone in your life, to the best of your ability, is vaccinated so that your child is really surrounded by vaccinated people. That's the cocooning effect that we do with other vaccines as well when somebody can't be vaccinated, either due to age or due to medical condition or any other reason.
Tracy, yesterday at the press briefing, Commissioner Levine was asked how he views the new normal going forward that we're about to enter into as being different from the old normal that would be pre-pandemic. Do you see a difference? Are we going to experience a new normal for the next 3 to 6 months?
I think that people are probably a little gun shy about this virus. For example, I will likely carry a mask with me for the next few months if I'm in an indoor environment and I see other people wearing masks. That might trigger to me that there might be unvaccinated people or people who might be feeling nervous. So that's one kind of obvious way that it might look different. You still may see some people wearing masks, and we certainly encourage that for unvaccinated people. Some people might be hesitant to mingle in really large crowds, and that may be the case for a while. One thing that I do hope that this does is encourage people to get vaccinated for whatever they need to be vaccinated for. So if you have kids, you know, it's a great time to look at the vaccination schedule and visit with your pediatrician or your family doctor and look at that. And for flu shots every year, although they're not quite as effective as this shot, you know, we do know that a lot of people die from flu every year. And so I hope enough people have learned about the science of vaccine and really seen the incredible results. I mean, this is just a living laboratory of the success of vaccines as we look around Vermont and see our low numbers and our death rate now. And so hopefully people have a different sense of the importance of vaccines. Outside of that, continuing to think about, you know, washing hands and doing all of the things that we would normally suggest. But there may be a bigger social normal, too. And I don't know how I can speak to that right now, other than to say there have been people that have been really impacted by this year in a lot of ways. And they may be emerging slowly and figuring out how they want to be in this in this new social world.
Commissioner Levine has talked about that at a number of press briefings, that for some people, there's going to be a transition here coming back, and it's not going to be something as simple as turning on or off a light switch. And you alluded to that, saying there'll be circumstances under which you might carry a mask with you. So it's not like we're going from what, you know, black to white here. There's going to be a transition period.
I think we're in that transition period. I think we have been slowly moving toward that. For those who have been getting vaccinated and who are fully vaccinated over the last couple of months, they've been hearing more and more about things that they can do. And so I think that we are in that transition now. And of course, as you travel to other states, the caution does go up a little higher, right? So it's for one thing to be here in Vermont. Let's say late next week, we are able to lift the rest of our restrictions. It's one thing to be in Vermont and obviously encouraging people to continue to get vaccinated who aren't, but it's another to be traveling to another part of the country where vaccination rates may be low and case rates may be higher. Okay, so is your behavior going to adjust there? You may not actually be very comfortable being inside a crowded restaurant there compared to in Vermont. Or if you travel overseas, if you have family in another country where the disease is still really moving rapidly through the population. And so the change that we see in Vermont might not be the change that we experience and live as we travel around as well.
It'll be really interesting. I see a lot of movie theaters in Vermont are starting to open again this weekend, as concerts are going to start taking place. And it'll be fascinating to see if there are people who feel, at least for the short term, they're going to feel more comfortable wearing masks in those situations.
It will be interesting. It's really hard to predict. I mean, we've never had a situation like this before in modern history. So it will be really interesting to see are people, you know, some people more slow to change their behaviors, or for unvaccinated, and that's something we will encourage, actually, is the mask wearing in a crowded indoor environment. So if you're unvaccinated, it would be the right thing to do to wear a mask. Eventually, it won't be required, but you still may really want to do that to protect yourself and others.
Now that we're emerging from this pandemic, do you think that there's some valuable lessons from the public health perspective that we learned during this pandemic that we might apply again in the future if we have to deal with this again?
I think there is, and we have not yet done our formal lessons learned process from this. We are still in it, even though it feels very different out there, certainly within state government and the health department. We are still going pretty hard to reach these last several thousand people. However, I think there are lessons learned. We have developed some even stronger partnerships than we had before with healthcare, with hospitals, with nursing homes, with childcare and schools. And we'd like to keep those relationships up. So I think one of the lessons learned is really continuing to strengthen the relationships we have so that we can be at the ready for either this or any other significant public health issue that arises. I think we've also learned that people are hungry for information. You know, we have never had this many looks at our data. I think this morning our data people reported out that the data that we put up on our website has been viewed 10 million times.
Wow.
Here in Vermont. That's incredible. Yeah, I mean, you know, public health doesn't always get much of a limelight. And so we often put up things that we think are very important. And we're happy if a few thousand people look in a given period. But, you know, to have 10 million, it really taught us that people were hungry for data, wanted to deeply understand it, wanted to see some of the raw numbers themselves. And so that's great. We'd love to continue that relationship with the public, sharing what we know about public health data. And then other lessons, just, you know, learning over and over again that providing as much information as we can, even if we don't have all the information. In public health, we learn about something called crisis communication. And it really tells us that even if you don't have all the answers, share the answers that you do have. And I feel like our leadership here, our governor and our health commissioner, have really done that a lot. You know, here's what we know. We don't know everything. You know, this is the science today. You know what? A month later, it changed a little. We weren't wrong before. We didn't know everything before. And now a month later, we've learned more things. And I feel like Vermonters have learned along with us because we've been wide open and transparent about what we're learning.
And is there also a feeling that public health needs to move quickly when there is a crisis?
Yes, I do feel like we moved pretty quickly, but we can always move more quickly. The CDC is really investing a lot more money in public health. Public health has been underfunded in this country drastically for years. And when you underfund, it does take a little more time to get things up and going. But now with the funding that we hopefully will have now and continue to have, we can shore up some of the things that need a little more support, certainly in terms of emergency response, but also just in terms of our longer term programs too. But having things at the ready, you know, of course, we've never had to do mass vaccination in this way, but now we have those lessons. So how do we keep exercising so that we're able to practice and be ready for the next time?
Many people are waiting for the word that the state of Vermont has hit that 80% threshold. It's amazing how far we've come in the last 12 months. Deputy Health Commissioner Tracy Dolan, many, many thanks for taking the time to be on the program and guiding us through many of these COVID questions.
Thank you very much, and I hope you have a wonderful day.
You too.